It doesn't matter who you are, whether you are a preacher, whether you are an elder, you need to come to worship, and when you worship, you're changed. When you truly come in here on Sunday mornings and you worship, you are changed. And when you walk out of here, you shouldn't be the same person that came in here. I deal with a lot of people that are not members of the Church of Christ, that haven't grown up in the Church of Christ. I deal with people in and out of the church that don't understand how the church operates. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I had fewer questions about how the church operates than I do today. Now, I think some of it is where we live geographically, and I think some of it is the church has changed so much, and there's so many different ideas of what a church should be. I love it when people come to me and say, "Neil, how does your church do this?" And I will quickly say, first of all, you need to understand it is not my church. And a lot of people think because I'm the preacher here and they call me pastor, and that's fine, I don't care what you call me, just make sure we have a dialogue going. And they'll say, "Being the pastor of that church, do you make all the decisions?" And I'll say, "No, I don't make very many of the decisions. If I did, things would be different." And then they'll ask, "Well, who leads the church?" And I said, "Well, we have elders." And then they'll say, "Well, don't you have a board?" And I said, "Well, some of our elders are boring, but that's not a board." I said, "We are following the biblical example of how the church should be led." You see, culture and the worldly view of things have come in, and they have taken away from what the Bible says. And what we want to do at this church is to do things in Bible ways with Bible names. And that's the reason why we call the men who lead this church elders. And the reason why that is because that's what the Bible calls them. And then I've had people ask me, "Well, why do you need elders, Neil?" And I'm like, "I got a list. And today I want to go over that list with you. So if somebody asks you, why do you have elders, why do you need elders, then you'll be able to go over the list with them." Now, today's service is going to be a little different. Normally, I give an invitation at the end of my sermon. Today, I'm going to give it to you now because I want you to know that when you come in here to worship, at the end of the sermon, we have an invitation song, and that invitation song is for everybody. It's not just for the bad people. It's for everyone. And that invitation is for people who are hurting, that need the prayers of others. That invitation are for those that are lost and need to study to find out how to be a Christian. That invitation is for people who need to make that decision to be baptized into Christ. And that invitation is for people who have sinned in some kind of public way and need to repent in some kind of public way. But it's for everybody in here because it doesn't matter who you are, whether you are a preacher, whether you are an elder, you need to come to worship, and when you worship, you're changed. When you truly come in here on Sunday mornings and you worship, you are changed. And when you walk out of here, you shouldn't be the same person that came in here. And sometimes when we sing the invitation songs, I just want to do better than I did last week. And sometimes there's something that I did that I need to repent of. There's sometimes that I need to think about a relationship that I have with someone. I love the communion service we have today, but one of the things I do during communion is I examine myself first and foremost to see if I have anything against anyone or if I know of anyone who has something against me. You see, this time of worship is to make sure our relationship with our God is right, but also to make sure our relationship with others are right. So when we sing that invitation song here in a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to respond to that invitation. And that invitation is for everyone, whether you come forward and make a response or whether you do it between you and God or you and your spouse or whoever you need to. It is that opportunity for you to make things right and to renew your soul. Before I end my sermon, I'm going to ask our elders to come up in a few moments, and they're going to introduce to this congregation two men that they have vetted and they have been talking to and we've actually been working with over the last month. And we're going to introduce them and pray over them and give you the process so that the church can agree that they're going to serve this congregation. But I want you to know, before we do all of that, I want you to know why we need elders and why we need more elders. So if you open up your sermon notes, let's jump into this real quick. First of all, the first thing I want you to see is that the elders are there to protect the church. They are here to protect the church. They protect us as a body of believers. Now, that does not mean that they stand out front with Uzis and make sure nothing happens to any of you. But what they do is they protect the church from the fact that we are in a spiritual warfare. And one of the things that the elders here at this church have recognized is that every time we make plans, every time we start moving forward, Satan gets in our way. And I will never forget when I first started preaching. It was within the first month. I went to one of the men that at the church that I was fairly close to, and I said, "Look," I said, "I don't know what's happening here. But, you know, since I've moved here, it seems like that I'm getting tempted all the time. All these things are coming at me." And he looked at me and laughed. And he said these words, and I'll never forget it. He says, "Neil, if you're not running into Satan every day, it means you're walking with him." And our elders are here to try to foresee what Satan is going to do and the attacks he's going to make, and they're here to protect us spiritually. Look at what it says. It says, "Be shepherds." Look down at the end of verse 22, and it says, "Be shepherds of the church of God." Now, most of you have this idea of what a shepherd is, but a shepherd is there to protect the sheep. And Paul goes on to write, Luke wrote this. It says, "Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth, so be on your guard." Elders are here to protect us. Number two, they teach, lead, and oversee the practical needs of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church." And he goes, especially those work is preaching and teaching. We're going to get into this in just a few moments, but one of the things that the elders need to do is they need to be able to preach and teach the word. Now, that doesn't mean they have to get up here on Sunday morning in order to be elders, but that means they need to be capable of preaching and teaching the word. A lot of times we don't think about the things that go on in this church. Do you realize that there is a light bill that has to be paid every month? I don't think that when I was growing up, I ever thought about the fact that there's a light bill that gets paid every month. You know what happens here when the air conditioner goes out? That came from one of our elders. Everybody looks to see who they can blame that the air conditioner went out. You see, we need somebody to direct the affairs, because if we don't have somebody calling to get the air conditioner fixed or getting the water pump fixed, right, Shaq? If we don't have somebody doing that, this place would fall apart, because somebody needs to be in charge of directing the affairs of the church. Now, they also have people, we have staff, and we have deacons that do a lot of that work, but they are in charge to make sure that that work gets done. Number three, they are a council of equals. I love this. Titus says, when Paul was talking to Titus, he says, you need to go that you can straighten out what was unfinished and underline these words, appoint elders in every town as I directed you. You see, it is God's desire that every church have elders in it. And we're fulfilling the biblical, the scriptural authority of God by putting elders in this. Now, I put down here, it is a council of equals, because I have had people ask me, who is the head elder here? And I tell them all the time, we do not have a head elder whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we do have an administrative elder. That just means he gets to do all the dirty work. That doesn't mean he's in charge. And I have been in churches where elders have said, I'm an elder and I'm going to tell you what to do. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, no, you're not. If the eldership come together and want to tell me what to do, then I will listen. But I won't listen to one elder over another, because we don't have head elders. It is a council. And these men get together and they work together, they pray together, and they are led by the Spirit of God to do what God wants for this church. Number four, they are men of prayer. And I want you to look at this in James chapter 5, verses 14, 15. It says, is anyone of you sick, it says you should call the preacher. No, it's not what it says at all. It says he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayers offered in faith will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. I love it when people call me and say, look, I'm dealing with this or I'm struggling with this. I love it, and I love ministering to people. I love counseling with people when they're having problems. I love all of that. But if you want to know what's scriptural, if you need the prayers of the church, you don't call the minister, you call the elders. And that's the reason why we continue to need more elders, because I want you to look around how many of you are, and I want you to know this time of the year it seems like everybody gets sick. And we need more men to be able to pray with and to counsel with. Now let me say this to you also. Church, I love you dearly, but I cannot read your minds. And sometimes people will call me and they will say, Neil, you know I've been sick. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know you've been sick unless you tell me? The same thing with the elders. How are the elders to know that you've been sick unless you tell them? Number five, they receive and administer money. And of course, this comes from Acts chapter 11. They sent their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. They are the ones responsible for the money. They're the ones that are responsible for budgets. They're the ones that are responsible for the money that you give each week. They have to give an account of that money. So that we need somebody in charge of the money. Number six, they provide counsel and resolve conflict. They provide counsel and resolve conflict. There are sometimes in this church where people have conflict. I know it's hard to believe, but there are times where we need somebody to help resolve conflict, and the elders are here to do that. We have an example in Acts chapter 15, verse 6, where the apostles and the elders met to consider the question. And number seven, they judge doctrinal issues. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. There are doctrinal issues that come up from time to time that the elders have to wrestle with. And I'm going to tell you, as a church body, the more people we get in this church, the more people that come in, and especially the people that come in with a different background than ours, they're going to question what's going on. And you know what? I love it when they do. When people question what's going on here, it makes us look at the Scriptures, it makes us turn back to the Bible, and makes us realize that we want to do things the way God has them. And so no matter what church you're in, if it's growing, there's going to be doctrinal issues from time to time that come up. So those are the things that why we need elders. But I want you to look at God's standard for elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, as a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. And he writes these words, be shepherds of God's flock. I want you to underscore that, underline that, because we are a flock and they are the shepherds. They are the ones that are leading us and they are the ones that are taking care of us. That is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. I want you to underline those words, because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, and underline these next words, but eager to serve. And he goes on to say, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, talking about Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, you say, well, that's great, Neil, but how do you choose men to be elders of a church? How do you do that? Well, we have an example in 1 Timothy and we have an example in Titus of the qualifications of the kind of men that need to be shepherds, that need to be elders. Now, I want you to look at this list, and I want you to look at it closely, because I have been in churches, and people have not looked at this list, and because they like someone, or because they think somebody's pretty cool, they want to make them a shepherd. Now, here's the qualification, and I put them side by side, because a lot of them are equal in what they say, but a lot of them explain the other. One, it says that you need to be above reproach, and that means that you need to be blameless in the community of the church as well as the community of the world. The husband of one wife, that means that you need to be the husband of one wife. Temperate, that means you need to be disciplined. Self-control is pretty self-explanatory there. And it goes on to say respectable. In one version, in Titus, it says that somebody is upright. It goes on to say that they're hospitable, and Titus says that as well. Able to teach, and explains it in Titus a little better by encouraging others by sound doctrine. Then it says not given to drunkenness, not given to drunkenness, not violent, gentle, not overbearing, not quarrelsome or not quick-tempered, not a lover of money, not pursuing dishonest gain, manages his own household well, a man whose children believe, his children obey him with respect, children that are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient, not being a recent convert, being holy, having a good reputation with outsiders, holding firm to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, and one who loves what is good. Now, your current eldership has vetted these men that you are about to be introduced to. And they vetted these men with these qualifications here. And it is your duty as the church to look at the men of the church and to see if they're qualified. Now, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our elders, so I'm going to ask our elders to come up. And for those of you who do not know who our elders are, I want to introduce them real quick. The guy that was doing announcements, this is Chris Kent. And this is John Shackelford right here in front of me. He and I look a lot alike. And this is Bill Hemphill. And these are our three elders now. And I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Thank you, Neil. While I'm talking a little bit and introducing, I would like to ask Monty Betts and his wife Paula to come forward. And I would like to ask John Wharton and his wife Anita to make their way up to the front. This morning it's my honor to make a very special announcement on behalf of the Shepherds of the North Tampa Church. For the past 2 to 3 months, we've been in prayer and discussions with two men regarding their potential addition to the North Tampa Shepherd Leadership Team, or as Neil called it, Council. At this time, I want to place their names before the North Tampa family for their consideration. Monty, if you want to stand up, Monty Betts, and John Wharton. So we ask that you prayerfully consider these two men. If for any reason you have a scriptural objection to their appointment as elder, please contact the one you have concerns with to discuss your concerns. If these concerns are satisfied, then the process continues. If the objection is unsatisfied, then approach the elders with your concern, your continued concern, and we'll have further discussion. The timeline for this would be about 2.5 weeks, so a couple of Sundays, and then on that Wednesday night, we'll conclude this timeline for objections. And if no objections occur or if things are worked through, then prepare on February 12th that we'll be having an installation of two new elders. So with that, I'm going to ask Shaq and Bill and I, you guys come up and we can take this. And we're going to pray over these two men.
Shaq. Y'all want to come on up? Let's pray, church. Holy Father, this is an exciting time because you're making it happen. And Father, we just praise you forever for giving us Monty and John, Anita and Paula. It is exciting because these men are ready and willing and able, and they have answered the call, God. And we just give it over to you to continue blessing your family here with the wisdom and excitement that these two guys are as they join the leadership team here. Thank you for the opportunity to be a shepherd for this flock. Father, we don't know it all, but we know you do, and you got this, and you are going to make things happen more greater than ever. And we just live it, we want it, and we encourage all of our flock to endorse more and involve themselves more as they support the shepherds that are being introduced this morning. Father, we know these two guys. We know that they're going to come alongside of your people, make the journey with them, and help them wherever we can. Thank you for Monty. Thank you for John. We pray this.
Father, we appreciate so much you raising up both Monty and John in our midst and have enabled them to show us their leadership qualities, the things that they can do, and the influence for good that they have on the rest of the congregation. Father, now we pray not only for Monty and Paula and John and Anita, but we pray for the congregation as they very carefully and prayerfully consider these men to assume a role of leadership. Be with us as we go through this. Protect us from the evil one who will surely try to intercede. We ask all things in Jesus.
Father God, Heavenly Father, holy is your name. We're so thankful and blessed to have your son. We're thankful and blessed to have this family that is filled with the Spirit here on earth. We just ask that as our family looks to add two more shepherds to this congregation, that you will help those of us that are currently serving, as well as those that are about to serve, to just mature and to become better leaders, to serve this congregation selflessly, to love you more, to love your son more,
We're so thankful that we have so many brothers and sisters that are out here that we can call brothers and sisters that are truly our family here on earth. We ask that as this process continues, that it will be blessed. There will be a great deal of prayer going on in the next 2 weeks, and that you will lead us to where this family of God needs to be. In Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen.